Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. Many people in New Mexico count on their retirement benefits to see them through their golden years, but some state pensions are reporting a major shortfall in the system looming on the horizon. Unless some big changes are made, officials say, the pension system may not be able to deliver in the future. So today we're discussing New Mexico's state pension system and how lawmakers are thinking about addressing this shortfall. We'll also be looking at the needs of retirees and how New Mexico's benefits stack up against other states. And we want to hear from you. Are you dependent on a pension? How would changes to our state pensions affect people looking to retire down the line? Can New Mexico serve the needs of retirees while also making sure that future generations are not left in the lurch? Call 277-5866 or email letstalk@kunm.org. Now, I'd like to welcome our first guest, Wayne Propst, the executive director of the Public Employees Retirement Association of New Mexico. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning, Ty. How are you?
Doing great. How are you this morning?
I'm great as well. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about PARA. How many workers and retirees does PARA represent?
Well, in our major divisions, which include the State Police Division, the Municipal Police, Municipal Fire Divisions, our State General Division, and our Municipal General Division, we currently have a little over 50,000 active employees paying into the system and a little over 40,000 members who are receiving a retirement benefit.
Okay, and that includes people from all different areas in state employment. What is the kind of the average benefit that retired state workers get at this point?
The average PARA benefit total now is reaching close to about $30,000 a year.
Okay, $30,000 a year. Does that and does this they also receive health care benefits and long term care? What does that look like?
Well, that's a different agency. That's the retiree health care. Benefit is administered by the Retiree Health Care Authority, so I probably would defer to them on that. But yes, our retirees do have access to retiree health care once they retire under PARA.
Okay. And what is how do the benefits and pensions stack up against the benefits in other states?
Well, there's some good news here. You know, in New Mexico, we unfortunately talk too often about how we're ranked 48th in this or 49th in that. But in terms of the benefit that we offer to our members and our retirees, we have one of the most generous public pension benefits in the country, certainly top five. It could be even a little bit higher than that. So it is a very good benefit.
So recently, we've become aware of what's referred to as an unfunded liability within PARA. Could you explain what that is exactly and why that's so concerning to lawmakers?
Well, essentially, it's the difference between the benefits that we've promised, both to those 40,000 current retirees and 50,000 future retirees. So the benefits that we've offered is roughly about $21 billion in benefits that we've promised to those 90,000 individuals. And the difference between that and what we have in the bank in terms of our trust fund, which is around it's around $15 billion. That's the unfunded liability. We do a study at the end of every fiscal year, and as of the end of the last fiscal year, our unfunded liability was $6 billion.
Okay. So if that's not addressed, what would happen?
Well, a number of things, and some things have already happened. You may have read within the last year that Moody's, which rates the state's bond or provides the state's bond rating, downgraded the state of New Mexico's bond rating partially, not entirely, but partially because of the unfunded liabilities for the two pension plans. We have a $6 billion unfunded liability. Our sister organization that provides retirement benefits to teachers has a $7.4 billion $7.4 billion unfunded liability. So between us, almost $14 billion in unfunded liabilities. So Moody's downgraded the state's bond rating. The city of Albuquerque also had its bond rating downgraded. So that's one of the real practical impacts of having an unfunded liability without any prospect of being able to pay off that unfunded liability. And, of course, we certainly don't want to see that grow anymore, but it's very dependent on our investment returns. One bad year of investments could see that unfunded liability increase significantly.
So what does it mean when Moody's downgrades the state's bond rating? Like, what kind of effects would that have?
Well, I'm not an expert on bonding, but essentially, as I understand it, it makes it much more difficult for cities, counties, and the state of New Mexico, or more expensive, not more difficult, but more expensive for cities, counties, and the state to borrow money. So it's something that the state pays very close attention to in terms of its bond rating. All states do, and a number of cities and counties in New Mexico pay attention to it as well, those that have bonding capacity and authority.
Okay. Now, this unfunded liability, how did it come about? What is the history there?
Well, the history goes back quite a ways. I'll try to give you the short version of the story, but back in the late 1990s, and this didn't just happen in New Mexico. It unfortunately happened throughout the country, and that's why public pension plans, not just here in New Mexico, but in Kentucky and Illinois and Colorado and California, are struggling with some of the same challenges we are struggling with here at PERA. But back in the late 1990s, when investment returns were coming in very strong, a lot of states, instead of providing their public employees with pay raises, they increased retirement benefits, because retirement benefits you don't have to worry about paying for maybe 20, 30 years down the road. We did that here in New Mexico. We increased retirement benefits without funding them properly, and expecting that returns would continue as they had in the 90s. Of course, in the early 2000s, we had the dot-com bust, and then we had the Great Recession in 2007, 2008. At PERA here in New Mexico in 2007, 2008, we lost almost half of our fund balance as a result of the Great Recession. Again, that's not unique to us. That happened across the country. But the combination of benefit enhancements that weren't properly funded at the time and the Great Recession in the middle 2007, 2008 is really what has created the headwinds that public pension plans across America are still struggling with.
Now, there were some bills before the legislature this session to address the unfunded liability within PERA. What happened with those?
Well, you know, the legislature has had quite a bit on its plate with education reform and infrastructure and budget. And, you know, I think there was just I obviously can't speak for the entire legislature, but I think there was a number of other priorities that they wanted to address. And, you know, pension reform may not have been at the top of that list. And then with the governor's issuing the executive order, I think that gave us all an opportunity to step back and say, okay, let's wait until after the session. Let's get together again and see if we can come up with some reasonable solutions to our funding challenges.
Right. So earlier this last month, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham announced that she's forming a task force to come up with solutions for PERA's funding issues. That's going to include people such as yourself, as well as different stakeholders like representatives from the New Mexico Sheriff's Association. What sort of potential fixes is this task force going to be considering?
Well, I think that's to be determined. I can tell you from the PERA board's perspective, the solutions that we put forward are shared solutions. The PERA board doesn't believe that any one particular group should bear the entire burden of addressing our unfunded liability and our funding challenges. There are two main levers that we have to move in either direction on our funded status and our unfunded liabilities. That's more money coming in or less money going out in terms of the benefits that we offer. Those are really the two main levers that the legislature has to address our unfunded liability. So we can increase contributions on current active employees and future active employees, or we can make benefit modifications that would affect current retirees, but also future retirees as well. Those are the two main levers that we have.
Okay, so one of the kind of more controversial changes being considered for the pension system is to reduce or eliminate the cost of living adjustment, or COLA. Could you explain what the COLA is and how it currently works for retirees?
Sure. Let me be clear. Nobody, not the PARA board, nobody I've talked to in the legislature, nobody I've talked to in the governor's office has ever suggested that we would eliminate the COLA. But currently, the COLA here in New Mexico is a flat 2% compounding annual cost of living adjustment. So every year, regardless of what CPI is, regardless of what our returns are, we pay out a 2% cost of living adjustment. Last year, we paid out approximately $1.2 billion in retirement benefits. Of that $1.2 billion, a little over $200 million of it is the result of the COLA that we pay out to our 40,000 current active employees or current current retirees.
And then the some critics have pointed out that PARA recently approved some raises for its own staff, and that money comes out of the retirement fund that is having so much trouble. How do you respond to those who say that this is inappropriate during a time when retirement benefits are potentially in jeopardy?
Well, I guess I would respond in a couple of ways. First of all, the administrative costs here at PARA are among the lowest you'll find in any public pension plan in the country. And some of the salaries, particularly for our investment staff here at PARA, are lower than either our sister agency at the SIC or the ERB. We take the stewardship of our budget and our trust fund very seriously here. At the same time, if somebody's doing a good job at PARA, I want to be able to promote them. We want to be able to bring good people in. So I don't think that, in fact, I know that nothing that we've done here at PARA is out of line with what has happened at every other state agency in New Mexico. And in fact, in some cases, as I mentioned, our salaries at PARA are lower than people who do the exact same job for the SIC or ERB. So I think that's a red herring. I think it's meant to distract from the real issues that we faced. Because, again, our administrative costs at PARA are extremely low.
Okay. And so concerning the task force itself, you guys are set to make some recommendations to the governor on August 30th as to what kind of solutions may be appropriate for solving the solvency issue. Will there be any sort of like kind of public meetings or opportunities for the public to give feedback when that happens?
You know, I think I'll probably defer to, I think you're going to have the chair of the task force on this morning as well. That's probably a question that I would defer to him on. We're excited about the task force. We're looking forward to it. Certainly commend the governor for her leadership in putting the task force together and her willingness to roll up her sleeves and help us find solutions to the challenges that we face. But we're going to be members of the task force, and I think I would leave that question to the leadership that will actually be making some of those decisions.
Okay. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Ty Bannerman. Our number is 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. Are you concerned about the future of New Mexico's state pension system? Do you have ideas for how it might be fixed? Let us know. We are also live tweeting the show, so send us your comments using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. And we are now going to take a quick break.
The law firm of Rothstein Donatelli is committed to supporting KUNM. Representing Native American tribes, people facing criminal charges, civil rights plaintiffs, and victims of sexual abuse. Info at RothsteinLaw.com.
At the Vein Center of New Mexico, patients learn about varicose vein symptoms like tired, aching legs and treatment options. Dr. Michael Harding and his team are proud sponsors of KUNM. More at VeinCenterNM.com.
Support comes from Grow with Google. Grow with Google will be in New Mexico the week of March 18th, offering digital skills workshops that can help grow one's career or business. Registration at g.co/grownewmexico.
Next time you lace up your running shoes, don't forget to take KUNM with you. Our new mobile app has live streaming, our two-week archive, podcasts, and much more to keep you company on your run. Search KUNM in the Apple App Store or Google Play and download today.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. We're talking about state pensions today, and we are taking your calls. Are you or someone you care about receiving a pension from the state? Can you live on that pension? Do you have to supplement your income in other ways? And how do you do that? What would cost of living adjustments mean for your budget? We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 277-5866. That's in the 505 area code. Or email letstalk@KUNM. And now I'd like to welcome Diego Arancon. He is the Executive Policy Advisor for Labor Management Affairs with Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's administration. He is going to chair the task force that we discussed with Wayne, and he will be working with representatives from PARA, as well as other stakeholders such as the New Mexico Sheriff's Association, the Retired Public Employees of New Mexico, and the Communications Workers of America Union to provide some recommendations for legislation to fix the solvency issue. Good morning, Diego.
Good morning, Ty. How are you?
Doing great. What are some of the issues that you guys will be focusing on with the task force?
Well, primarily, as its title, we're focusing on solvency. We heard several concerns from all stakeholders before the session. And the bills that were dropped, there were various concerns, primarily from retirees. The governor was listening to those, and she made the decision to create the task force to deal with the solvency issues from the stakeholders, collect all ideas, bring everyone together, and create a shared burden, if you will, to correct the problem.
Okay, and as I said, the governor set a deadline of August 30th for the task force to provide a list of recommendations. What kind of solutions will you be able to come up with on that timeline?
Well, it's just like I was saying, a shared burden. There's a balance. And obviously the cost of living increase is a point of contention. Nobody wants to take that from any retirees. Contribution increases are also a point of contention. Current employees have concerns about it being too high. And between those two mechanisms, we have to find a balance to be able to be sustainable. And that's the struggle. And I don't think that these groups in the past had an opportunity to kind of vet their concerns or concepts, working hand in hand with PARA to kind of do actuarial analysis that will kind of cover the solvency issues in totality. And there really is, and I always say this is like a 50-year problem, not a one-year problem. I think we have to have a balanced approach with maybe smaller contribution increases over a longer period of time to hit our mark in our actuarial.
Now, how do current employee contributions, how do they stack up against other similar programs in other states?
You know, I don't have the information in front of me, but what I would like to share is that we have to be very careful in the changes that we make at the state level and how that affects the municipal and county employers and employees. We can't compete hourly with other states, but as Wayne said earlier, we have one of the best pension systems in the country, and that was really what attracts people and retains employees, is that benefit. If we start chipping away at it too much, the municipal level, we can't catch up in time to increase hourly rates to be competitive. So we'll lose a lot of our workforce to other states. So that's something that we're conscious of. But to answer your question, I don't know the exact rates.
Okay. And how do you mentioned balancing the needs of current workers and the needs of retirees. How do you make sure that you can maintain that balance and protect both current workers and retirees?
Well, I think the governor's selection of the task force is key. You've got the Municipal League is at the table. New Mexico Counties is at the table. You have some of the groups you had mentioned earlier. And the key component is to have the chair and the vice chair from the Investment Pension Oversight Committee, specifically Tomas Salazar, who's been an incredible leader through this entire process, had a part in creating this task force as well. He'll be on there. You'll also have the executive director of PARA, the chairwoman, and the chief investment officer. So that, coupled with the stakeholders, if you will, from the various organizations, I think we have a recipe for success. I think everyone knows what's in front of us. We have an administration who's actually listening now, wanting to hear these concerns, and we can actually craft legislation together to hit our mark. Whereas in 2010, 11, I believe, I served on the Pension Task Force back then, very similarly situated, we came up with a solvency solution. There was a bill drafted, and the governor at the time, previous administration, towards the end, pulled back 1% of the employer's contribution, which skewed the entire process. And that was a huge point of contention for us. So having lessons learned from that, knowing that we can do it, now the missing ingredient, if you will, in our recipe is an administration that was listening. And now we have that. So I think again, this is going to work. I'm confident and I'm excited to work with these people.
Okay, great. Now I'd like to go to a phone call. Looks like we have George from Albuquerque. George, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks.
Hi, George. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, I like the way Wayne kind of laid out very simply the way to fix it is either less money going out or more money coming in. And are the decision makers leaning more toward one of those scenarios over the other? And are there more ways to make more money come in, or are there more ways to make less money go out?
Okay. Hi, Wayne. Would you like to answer that?
I'm certainly happy to try. Good morning, George. From the PARA board perspective, I can tell you that we believe it needs to be a balance. And I think Diego just referenced that as well, that we are, we're an association. We're the Public Employees Retirement Association. And if you're in an association, you're in it together. So we don't think that either one side or the other should be overweighted, either more contributions or less benefits. There needs to be a balance there. I will say from an investment perspective, we are trying very hard to maximize our investment returns while ensuring that we take a reasonable amount of risk with our members' money. Some people have said, well, why don't you try to just invest your way out of the $6 billion liability? Well, the board looked at that. They studied it, and they determined that in order to be able to do that, there's about 11% probability that we could actually invest our way out of the $6 billion liability that we have. So, but we are looking at ways to maximize our investment returns. We're looking at ways to reduce the fees that we pay our investment managers. But again, in the end, it's going to have to be a shared burden amongst our membership groups, and we're going to have to do this together. And that's one of the reasons why I agree with Diego. The governor bringing people together, I think we have a good chance that we can come up with some reasonable solutions that's going to protect the benefit that we have currently for current retirees and future retirees.
I have a question. Are you guys considering any changes that would affect current retirees? And let's go with Diego for that one.
Changes as far as cost of living increases?
Right. Cost of living increases or any changes to the pension system that would affect current retirees?
I think the goal here is to approach this with an open mind. We all know what we need to do, and it boils down to math. And equity, and I say that in jest, but it's reality. And knowing those two guiding principles, for example, we have to come to the table and learn from each other what our concerns are, both current employees and retirees, and really the model is to try and create that together. So it'd be premature for me to kind of guess as to what we're going to do. I really want this task force to kind of organically come up with a concept collectively.
Okay, thank you. All right, now I'd like to go ahead and welcome Dan Boyd. He is a reporter with the Albuquerque Journal who has been covering pension issues in the state. Hi, Dan. Are you there?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. So I wondered if you could maybe give us a little bit about your perspective of what's been going on with the bills intended to address this unfunded liability before the legislature. What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, just for a little background, I've been, you know, covering this issue for years, as both Wayne and Diego have mentioned. I covered in 2013 the legislation that was signed into law, and then kind of, you know, subsequently the realization that more may have to be done to kind of, you know, shore up these funds. You know, this year, kind of leading into the session, there wasn't necessarily a lot of buy-in, as has been described by some of the different stakeholder groups. So coming into the session, there wasn't kind of that consensus, which I think there has been at times in the past and has not been at times in the past. So there, you know, a few of the different bills that have been introduced haven't found much traction, I think, for that reason, that there hasn't been, you know, a lot of buy-in from some of the affected parties, especially the retirees who. So we have seen kind of some smaller pieces of pension legislation increasing the taxpayer funded or the employer contributions go up. There's been a bill that has moved forward to do that. But I think it's clear that that in itself wouldn't solve some of the issues that PERA is facing.
So are there a lot of pitfalls in dealing with this problem from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, there's so many affected parties, you know, and I think it is a challenge to get everybody on board on the same page. I mean, the unions have been active on this issue. Obviously, the governor and with the new governor in office, I mean, she's bringing some of her own thoughts and expectations to the table. And then, you know, from the legislators' perspective, their legislators are also covered by the PERA plan, which kind of adds a twist to things, as are judges, state police, a lot of different workers. And some of those individual plans are in better shape than others, which can make it, you know, tough to kind of come up with a solution that, you know, that adjusts everything fairly and affects everyone equally.
Okay, I have a question from Andrea in Santa Fe. Andrea, are you there? Okay, well, Andrea, if you could, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, what is your question?
Yeah, my question is, I know other states have dealt with this issue by actually just getting rid of the pension altogether, and I'm wondering what the philosophy is on that and if that's ever come up as a possibility.
Okay. Wayne, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know of too many states that have looked at getting rid of the pension altogether. What we have seen, though, is a number of states, Kentucky being one of them, that are considering moving away from a defined benefit plan to a defined contribution or a 401k type system. We haven't looked at that here in New Mexico. We believe that the challenges that we're facing are manageable. We don't believe that we need to make significant changes either to our retirement benefit or to contributions to fix the problems that we have. We think we can do that, you know, with everybody just, as I mentioned earlier, rolling up their sleeves and being willing to talk and work together. We can get back on track to where we need to go, and we don't need to take the step of moving away from a defined benefit to a defined contribution system. And frankly, the states that have gone to a 401k type system, many of them have regretted it. They found, as Diego mentioned, they found it much more difficult to recruit and retain employees with a 401k system. And several states that moved in that direction have now moved back to a defined benefit type program. So I don't think that's something that from the PERA perspective, at least, that we feel we need to take that type of drastic action.
Now, joining us in the studio today is Joseph Luna, who is the vice president of the Retired Public Employees of New Mexico. Good morning, Joseph. Your organization represents retired workers all over the state and has been pretty vocal regarding pension reform efforts. How do you see the history of changes to the PERA system? What has been done so far?
Well, so far up to this point, and thank you, Ty, I guess given a quick little history on this, back in Senate Bill 27 was introduced back when the other administration was in. That's when we lost the 1% of our COLA. It was sold to them after about 5 years that you need to do something or the pension is going to fail. And it seems like some of that doom and gloom has kept on being preached, when yet we're still, and don't quote me totally on the numbers, about 73% funded on the PERA side, and ERB's in the 60 percentile. We wonder why are we so funded greater, I should say, but yet the sky's falling. It doesn't make sense. Even though we're still going to invest and try to fix this, we'd like to know, there's a lot of questions from our side. What did that do to help fix and shore up the para fund? Why are we now away from people that retire right now, 7 years away? They don't even get a COLA raise. And the COLA is so important to the retirees. I'll put it in simplistic ways. I'll use my mom as an example. Let's say she retired with about $1,100 a month. With the COLA that she gets up to this point that she's been retired, and it is generous. They've said this already before. She's now about $2,800. Now, does that totally keep up with the cost of living? Maybe not, but it is something that is very important to the retirees. And the retirees feel that they've been neglected and not looked at, and that is why they, through this group, have rose their voices up loud to say, wait a second, we don't want to lose our COLA. So let's figure this out.
And from your perspective, what have been the most harmful changes in the history of pension reform?
As for me, it has been probably the loss of the 1%. It used to be 3%. That is probably the most the biggest thing that we all felt. And nobody wanted it. But we all, as they say, we all had to clench down and say, okay, this is going to happen. And it was a shared sacrifice. It was promised that they wouldn't come back to revisit the COLA. Why we're here is because we got word that they were coming after the COLA. And that really made an uprising with the retirees.
Okay. Wayne, would you like to respond to that?
Sure. I mean, nobody's coming after the COLA. I'm going to get a benefit one of these days, too. Diego, I think, wants a benefit one of these days, too. And when I retire, I'd like to get a cost of living adjustment. But as Diego also mentioned, it's a math and an equity issue. The contribution rates for active employees in New Mexico are some of the highest, if not the highest, in the country. 70% of our liabilities, our current liabilities at $20 billion or $21 billion in current liabilities, 70% of that is for current retirees and only 30% for current active employees. So there's a question of intergenerational equity. Making sure that the worker who starts this week, their first job in state government, has the same opportunity to have a safe and secure retirement 25, 30 years from now. And that's the balancing act that we have to address. And so nobody's coming after anybody's COLA, and anybody who's saying that we're coming after their COLA either misunderstands what the board has been talking about or perhaps has another agenda. But I want to preserve and protect the COLA just as much as RPE&M does. And I don't want to speak for Diego, but my guess is he wants to preserve and protect it too. But can we do it in such a way that makes sure that we address our unfunded liability so that person who starts their first job at the city of Albuquerque next week or this week has the same kind of retirement benefit that I hope to have when I retire in 5 or 6 years. That's the balancing act.
Okay, and we are talking today about pensions in New Mexico, and thank you so much for joining us on Let's Talk New Mexico. We're discussing what could be done to fix the problems in the system, and now we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Your organization or business can help KUNM and help yourself to get great publicity. Plus, get a gift certificate toward a run of future on-air announcements by rounding up at least 4 people who will come in and answer phones during our spring fundraiser. Shifts are available from Saturday, March 23rd through Friday, March 29th. There's sure to be a shift that fits your schedule. Visit KUNM.org and click Help Answer Phones.
It's the season of love. If you love KUNM and couldn't imagine life in New Mexico without it, now is a good time to support what you love by donating that unwanted car or truck. Maybe you're no longer driving it, or maybe you just need more room in your driveway. Either way, donating it to KUNM is a great way to show your love. To find out if your vehicle qualifies, call 888-KUNM. Car. That's 888-586-6227.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Ty Bannerman. We want to hear from you today. Give us a call at 277-5866 or tweet using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. And we have a question from Lynn in Albuquerque. Hi, Lynn. What would you like to add to the conversation?
I'd like to state that New Mexico Para staff have ignored the opportunities to improve investments. They rather do nothing strategy. We know that the hurdle rate, the statutory hurdle rate, was 7.75% under SB 27, and yet they have lowered it to increase the unfunded liability when they have viable options to make changes to the investment portfolio, and they've ignored that. And is staff really qualified to do their jobs?
Okay, Wayne, what's your response to that?
Well, the investment staff at Para are highly qualified to do their job. Our current chief investment officer, Dominic Garcia, he's born and raised in New Mexico. He left a few years back to go to work for the state of Wisconsin Public Pension Plan, which is a $120 billion plan. They're one of the few plans in the country that is 100% funded. He had tremendous success there. Fortunately, we were able to get him back in New Mexico. So we have excellent staff preserving and protecting the trust fund for current and future retirees. When I started at Para about 8 years ago, we were pretty much dead last in terms of our investment performance across the country. Public pension plans of the same size, dead last. We've now moved into the top 25%. So I would say that we're having significant success, but we're doing it prudently. We're not going to take unnecessary risk with our members' money. And as long as I'm executive director and as long as we have the current board of trustees that we have, I think we're going to continue to follow that prudent path, making sure that we earn every dollar we can through investments, but we don't take unnecessary risks with our members' money.
Are you or someone you know a state employee? What do you think about the amount of money that you have to contribute to your retirement pension? Do you have questions about what your benefits will be when you retire? Give us a call, 277-5866, or tweet using the hashtag #LetsTalkNewMexico. And I'd like to go back to Joseph Luna, the vice president of the Retired Public Employees of New Mexico. We talked a little bit about changes to the pension system that you would not support. Are there any that you have supported or would support going forward?
We've always supported having a solvency. You always hear what has been stated by Wayne before, the Moody's. I think that this task force that is going to be put together is going to help fix what should have been fixed in 2013. That should have been long, long done ago. But I still think that there are a lot of questions from our organization with the changes that were made. Where are we at right now? And we just lots of questions. Why is our sister counterpart, ERB, out investing us on the Para side?
Mm-hmm.
That's one big question that we have right there alone.
And as a retired person yourself, could you talk a little bit about how important the cost of living adjustment is?
Oh, as I said before, it's a really good thing to have. It may not keep up totally with the cost of living, but it sure offsets it, especially now in light of what's the legislation in Santa Fe right now. The gas tax is going up. Personal tax is going up. It's like you're clawing your way just to stay afloat. And that's the hard part in the reality for most New Mexicans, especially if you live in the rural area.
And so what sort of changes do you and your organization's members suggest that could address these money problems that Para is having?
Well, we have lots of solutions. We even have our paid financial advisor and he is also a retiree. We have ideas to bring to the table, which I think we don't have enough time to talk about here, that there are a lot of fixes to be done that can be tweaked within the organization of Para itself to get us to that point. I constantly hear this volatile environment of we can't out-invest things. I think there is enough things there that we can change to really make a difference.
Okay. Now, we are joined today by Jan Goodwin, the Educational Retirement Board. She is the executive director. Like Para, the ERB is also facing an unfunded liability of $7.5 billion. Hi, Jan.
Good morning, Ty. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. Can you tell me a little bit about how the New Mexico Educational Retirement Board pension system is different from Para?
Well, our membership is different. We provide defined benefit retirement for all of the public educational employees in the state of New Mexico. So that's everyone who works for the pre-K through 12 schools, as well as higher education. But other than that, we're basically very similar. Our goal is to provide a secure financial benefit for our members after they've devoted their professional careers to public service.
And what is the average retirement benefit for teachers in this state?
It's approximately $22,000.
Okay. And where do things currently stand with your pension system and the unfunded liability?
Well, as you mentioned, our unfunded liability is $7.5 billion, and we're 63.5% funded.
Okay.
So that means we have about 64 cents in the bank for every dollar of liabilities we have for future benefits.
And what sort of changes are you considering to handle these funding issues?
Well, at ERB, our focus is on sustainability. We are already on the path to 100% funding. We made some tough changes back in 2013, but because the investment environment is constantly changing, actuarial assumptions are revised periodically, all of a sudden our path to 100% funding got longer. So we're still on the path to 100% funding, but it's going to take us longer to get there than we'd like. So we're focusing on a number of different changes. One is some benefit reductions for new members. We are trying to tighten up any of the gaps, any loopholes that there are, and we're also looking for an increase in the employer contribution rate.
Okay. Now, we have some calls coming in. I'd like to start with Mark from Albuquerque. Hi, Mark. What is your comment or question?
I'm a former state employee, and one of the problems really with the pension program is that people who retire can draw more money out of the system than they ever put in. So when they work for the state, they contribute through each paycheck the employee does, and then the state has a match, and then you build up a fund. But after only about 4 years of being retired, that fund is depleted, but yet that retiree continues to get retiree benefits.
Okay. And I'd like to go ahead and move on to Kurt from Albuquerque as well. Kurt, what would you like to add to the conversation?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having this program. My comments are that back in the studies in 2012 that resulted in the benefit changes in 2013, at that time, there was $6 billion in unfunded liability, and that was on the path to reducing that over 30 years. Now, by reducing the COLA from 3% to 2%, that was an immediate $1.4 billion reduction in that $6 billion. So my question, and there's been a lack of transparency from the executive director and the board, as to what's happened since 2012 and 2013. We now back up at $6 billion. We need to really look at all of the factors. I think one of the factors that didn't get implemented is that there are still some active employees that have a 3% annual multiplier where they're accruing benefits. That is unsustainable, especially in this environment. Also, when you reduce, the board reduced the return rate from 7.75% to 4%.
Okay, I'm sorry. It sounds like you're breaking up pretty bad there, Kurt. But Wayne, would you like to go ahead and address Kurt's concerns?
Sure. I don't know how we could be any more transparent than we've been through this process. The board started taking a look at this back in January of 2017. Our board meetings, our committee meetings, our study sessions are open to the public. They're video streamed live. We have a transparency section on our website. All of the materials that the board has reviewed, all of the studies that have been reviewed are on our website. So I certainly would encourage the caller maybe to check out our website at www.nmpara.org because it's all there. In terms of what happened between 2013 and now, it's actually rather simple. First of all, without the reforms of 2013, Senate Bill 27, we'd be in a far worse shape than we are now. So the reforms of 2013 had a very positive impact on PARA. Maybe not the impact that we had hoped. But again, we'd be in far worse shape now if we hadn't, if the legislature hadn't passed Senate Bill 27. We have reduced our interest investment rate assumption from 7.75 to 7.25. I think that's very prudent for us to do that. Every investment advisor that we've heard from have said that we can expect a low return environment, at least for the next 10 years. Virtually every public pension plan in the country, including my friend and colleague there at ERB, Jan, every public pension plan in the country has reduced their investment return assumption. Part of the reason we got in this mess is because we overestimated what our investment returns would be. So that has been a significant contributing factor to us not being able to stay on track to paying off our unfunded liability. The board made that decision. It was a right decision. It was a prudent decision, and it's in the best long-term interest of the fund to have made that decision. So that's that really, in a nutshell, is why we haven't stayed on track to paying off our unfunded liability by 2043, as we had hoped, with passage of Senate Bill 27.
Now, Antonia from Los Alamos, what would you like to add to the conversation?
Hello. Hi. So what I would like to say first off is I'm a recent retiree, and I would love to thank the para people in Santa Fe for just really holding my hand through the process. So I think that they don't get any kudos, and I'm going to try to give them some. And my second question is, as a retiree, when I started, I understood that when I retired, that I would have these benefits. And I felt like it was a contractual thing between me and the state that this is what I was going to get. And it seems like you should not be able to change that after the fact. And, I it sounds like that's what you're trying to do. So I would like somebody to address that. Thank you.
Okay. Diego, would you like to address that? Okay. How about you, Wayne?
Sure. The para benefit, along with the ERB benefit, are constitutionally protected property rights. The changes that we did back in 2027 protected that constitutionally protected property right. The Supreme Court of New Mexico has ruled, however, after 2013, that the COLA is not part of that constitutionally protected property right. So we are not talking about, and I don't think we ever will talk about, making changes that would affect the base benefit of our current retirees or our future retirees. But the COLA is not part of that constitutionally protected property right, and therefore changes were made to it back in 2013 by PARA. Some of the analysis that we've had done over the last couple of years in terms of how we can get back on track to paying our unfunded liability has looked at different COLA models, not eliminating the COLA model. I want to stress that again. Nobody's talking about eliminating the COLA, but we pay a fixed 2% annual compounding cost of living adjustment. A lot of public pension plans, in fact, I would say the majority of public pension plans in the country have gotten away from that fixed COLA each and every year. They move to other COLA structures, such as tying it to the consumer price index, things like that. But we still anticipate that regardless of whatever we propose or comes out of the task force, we will still be able to continue to provide a cost of living adjustment to our retirees. It may look different than the cost of living adjustment that we're providing now, but over the history of PARA, the cost of living adjustment has changed many times. We used to have our COLA tied to CPI. We got away from that and went to a 3% fixed COLA. But again, nobody's talking about eliminating the COLA, but the COLA may need to look different in the future.
Okay, Elizabeth from Albuquerque, let's go to you next. What comment do you have for us? And we do have to kind of keep it short as we are coming close to the end of the program.
I have worked all over the country and in federal, state, municipal, local, county government type positions. in some of those areas, individuals or the local governments have raided pension funds either to fund something else or actually stole from them. What safeguards are in place to keep all of these different agencies, including the state government, from raiding the pension funds to fund something else or to prevent individuals from actually stealing from them?
Okay, Diego, what do you have to respond?
Well, that's a great question. Legislative process is the cleanest answer. And now, like I stressed before, we have an executive who's actually paying attention, recognizes the significance of working people in New Mexico, wants to hear from them, needs their input to make decisions. Then collectively, if we give the recommendations that are worthy, we go forward, create legislation, and then the process through the public and our citizen legislature does its job. And for the caller, that's where you come in. As you get involved, you come and advocate, you call your legislator, and you help us all through the process. And that's the component of this that I'm excited about, which we didn't have. The previous governor really disregarded our concerns, and I think in large part has disenfranchised employees across the state. And it's our job, and the governor's given me a job, to restore that confidence in New Mexico's working families. So I'm excited about this process.
Okay, and now we have Gerald from Mountain Air. Gerald is actually a former chairman of PERA, so we would very much like to hear your perspective on this, Gerald.
Yes, thank you for having me on. What I'd like to say is that I know this is a big challenge. In 2012, you know, when we were dealing with the reform while I was chair, we divulged at that time that the COLA was on the table at that time. Like what I heard earlier, we had threats that the legislature was going to do a reform if we didn't do one. So there was a lot of dialogue, and there was over a year of dialogue. What's happened now is there was the board didn't admit that the COLA was on the table until the last few months before the end of 2018. And that's what caused a lot of stir with retirees. They heard that they were looking at pension reform, but it was never actually divulged that the COLA was on the table. But this is the point I'm trying to make. It's more complex than what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that, and I agree, there's more money going out of the fund than money coming into the fund. But to fix it, it's a big complex issue. There's 31 some funds in PERA. I understand that over half of the $6 billion is owned. The unfunded liability is owned by municipal, fire, and state general. So when we're talking fair and equitable solutions, we need to look at not only the fund as a whole, but how do we shore up each individual plan, or at least put them on the way to solvency, that everybody is more in an equitable playing field? It's a lot more complex than we're hearing, and I think that I'm glad we have the task force. I'm glad for the governor. I'm glad that we're all at the table, and I'm glad retirees are being listened to and that they'll have a voice at the table.
Okay, thank you, Gerald, for your comments. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have today. I want to thank everyone who called in to share your thoughts, and thanks so much to our guests. The conversation does not have to end here. You can share your thoughts by commenting on KUNM.org or email letstalk@KUNM.org. If you missed part of the show, you can stream it online or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Next Thursday morning on Let's Talk New Mexico, we'll get an update on what's happening at the Roundhouse from a panel of journalists who are covering this year's legislative session in Santa Fe. I'm Ty Bannerman. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls, and Celia Rainey live-tweeted the show. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.